Good morning, good evening, and good afternoon all, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this fortnight's installment of the Ish Plus 6 podcast, the podcast series where you can discover your next favorite artist. On today's episode, I am joined by the one and only Chinz. Chinz is a South London-based artist who has really been making waves within the scene with his unique sound, with popular tracks such as In the Air, Look in Your Eyes, and Cry topping his Spotify. And with his recent progressive tape, Please Be Patient, dropping earlier this year, he is definitely one to keep an eye on. And please all welcome Chinz to the podcast. Let's go, let's go. What's going on, Chinz? What's going on?
Come on, man. I'm good. You know, we're comfy, just chilling in bed, having a chill on, you know.
You know the vibes.
Pleasure's all mine.
Hey, man, it's cool. It's a vibe, honestly. You know what? I was listening to your stuff. I was like, yeah, we need to get this guy on the podcast. We need to get him on.
You're guessing me.
Yeah, man, for real. It's funny you said comfy as well, because comfy Chinz, that's the ad, isn't it?
Yeah, man. It's just, comfy is just a nickname, because I was always in a tracksuit. And, you know, a funny story, actually, I started off music as a songwriter.
Yeah.
So I would write for my boy Clarence. He's a chef now. But I realized when I was writing songs, right, guys like Frank Ocean and Party Next Door, they would have a collection. So Frank had the Lonnie Bro collection. Party had the Jean B collection. So I needed a collection of songs. So I ended up calling it the Comfy Collection. And then Comfy was literally born out of that. So
that's crazy, man. Honestly, do you know what? Nah, that's actually crazy. I don't want to get too deep into the questions right now yet, though, because, yeah, sure. Like, you've seen every single episode. You know that we always start off with a joke, of course. Today's of course. No different. Break the ice. I'm in too deep. I can't start the episode without it at this point. The viewers know. Let's just get it out of the way, and then we'll get into what the people have come here for.
Sure.
Sick, man. All right, cool. My balloon elephant wouldn't fit in the back seat of the car, so I had to pop the trunk.
Out of 10, what would you give that joke?
Nah, do you know what? Do you know what? I've never in my life had someone come for me like that by saying out of 10. That's crazy.
I mean, you said it like you knew it was terrible. I was just wondering, like, did you think that was hot? Like, what's the rules here? Was that supposed to laugh?
Yo, listen. Honestly, I thought it was all right.
Hey, fair enough, man.
When I scout for these jokes, right, I'm sorry, I've never had someone to say.
You're killing me. Don't kill me.
Alright. Obviously when I scout for these jokes, I don't go for deliberately dead ones. Like, I go for ones that will make me like a little bit.
Yeah, the hard exhale. They're like, Yeah, I feel you.
Exactly. Not like be on the floor joke. Like, I don't really laugh at jokes like that. But nah, like, maybe a five. If a five is average, then a five, honestly.
No, I would give it higher than that, to be honest. Because I think it was a little bit, it was kind of creative. I don't know. Maybe it was a timing. I don't know, man. It was like it was off, but I'll give it like a six.
Do you know what it is? It's the fact that you said I'll give it a higher ranking than a five, but when I said the joke, I was looking at you and your muscles in your face did not twitch in the slightest.
That's why I asked you, like, out of 10, are we both laughing at this? Like, well, I didn't really get the rules. Nah, man, it was all right, bro.
Yeah, man.
We've all been there.
Yeah, I really did think you'd frozen as well for a second, because you were just staring at me like...
I'm just like that, though. Like, I get told that all the time that my face doesn't move. I think it's the autism. But yeah, it's all good.
That's crazy, man, honestly. All right, let's get into the questions. Yeah, for sure. Cool. So I want to talk a bit about the Chin's origin story. We talked a little bit about where the name Comfy came from, the nickname Comfy. I want to talk about the name Chin's as a whole, where that came from. I kind of have an idea of where, but also I want to talk a little bit more about how you got into music and all of that as well a little bit later on. But yeah, let's start with the original question though.
Sure. So Chins is an abbreviated version of my name, which I'm sure you guess. I'm Nigerian, so my full name means God leads me. My mom gave me that one. She went absolutely crazy. Shout out to Mumsy. I just feel like you can't lose with that name. I just feel, I feel empowered. I feel like, I don't know if it's the same for you, but I'm Nigerian and I grew up feeling very, feeling kind of isolated because of my name. And I feel like it took a lot of time and a lot of self-love to embrace every aspect of my culture, So I think, yeah, I think it was like a long journey sort of thing. But yeah, Shins is a nickname, you know what I mean? My mom gave me that. So that's just it, really. I didn't want to have a pseudonym. And I wanted, because Comfy was kind of half already there, I wanted to actually just be me. I feel like all of the strongest brands have one name, like Elvis, Beyonce, Rihanna. You're just one name. So I wanted to be one name. So yeah, that's where that came from.
I hear it, man, honestly. And yeah, to be fair, yeah, I feel like a lot of people who are, what is it, first gen or second gen immigrants where you're born
Think we're second, yeah.
second. Yeah, I feel like a lot of second gen immigrants definitely do have that sort of coming to terms with the fact that their name is different to all of the, Jessicas and Peters around them. I mean,
100%.
I say that. I know quite a few Nigerians called Peter, but still, like the point still stands. You know what I
Point still
mean?
stands, bro. Point still stands, bro. Any Nigerian has an abbreviation, and it's like their full thing is like crazy. So listen, it's cultural.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, but yeah, like literally, I don't know anyone with letters of the alphabet arranged in such a way as my name. You know, and I mean, I don't really know anyone called Chine. Ch it's Chinedu, right? Yeah, I don't know anyone else called Chinedu, I don't think. Anyways, so yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's a really common name, actually. It's unisex as well. So I think if you go to Nigeria, there's probably like 10 million of us. So, I mean, yeah, man. We're in the building. We're in the building.
Facts, man. Facts, honestly, yeah. And to be fair, yeah, Nigerians really are everywhere as well. Now that I think about it, like
Bombs.
go anywhere, but you could go to, like, I don't know, Norway or something, and you'll find Nigerians there. Like, it's
Bro,
crazy.
there'll be some kid, yeah. He'll be playing for Estonia, like an under 21 strike for Estonia, and he's got a Nigerian last name. You're like, you gotta be joking me, bro.
Thanks, man. Honestly, it does, you're
Crazy.
I have to rate it though, because honestly, you guys are, I don't want to say colonizing is a strong word, but
Yeah,
you guys are spreading your seeds everywhere, and it's
that's
Niger.
because spreading your seeds is worse than colonizing. That's
Is
crazy.
it really?
Especially spreading your seed. What do you think this is? That is crazy.
No, chill. I don't want an entire nation after me because you
That's
guys are
crazy.
everywhere. You guys roll deep, so.
Are we bro? Whoa, let's be real deep. We're on every consensus everywhere.
Exactly, man.
It's a million of us.
All Nigerians, I didn't mean any offense. Let me be clear. Let the record show. But yeah. Cool. So we talked about the name Chins, where that came from. I want to talk a bit about how you got into music as well. You mentioned writing for someone else, but I also want to talk just simply about how you started making music yourself.
Okay. Yeah, man, great question. So, since a kid, I knew music was something that I wanted to do my whole life, which gave me a huge sense of purpose. And it made life really easy for me because it eliminated every other possibility. I was always writing rap since I was a kid. The first song I ever remember listening to is B2K, Bump, Bump, Bump. That came out in 2004, I think. So I was like 3, 4. I knew every lyric, every word. And I think from then it was like music is something I have to do. I started making beats on the school computer when I was in year nine. I was about 14. I was blessed enough to have music to be able to like make beats on the computer at school. So the moment I started doing that, I was obsessed, bro. Like I would go there every lunch, every break, every lunch after school. I'd be leaving school at like 6:30, literally cooking beats, writing songs. I was obsessed. And then when I was about 16, me and my boy Clarence, who I ended up writing for, recorded a little EP in the studio. I still got them songs to the day, bro. And then that was like, over time, stuff started to click, you know? And then as I went to uni, I realized like, I'm never gonna have 3 years of uninterrupted free time ever again. So I need to dedicate this time into honing my skills as an artist, perfecting my writing and having a serious grip, forming my identity as well and having a serious grip of understanding the actual technical elements of music, like mixing, mastering, recording, tracking vocals. Where do I put the hook? Where do I put the verse? So I would say from, I've started properly making music from like 14 and I'm, yeah, so yeah, been about 9-10 years.
That's crazy, man. How did you start, I suppose, putting vocals to the beats? Because Clarence was vocalizing what you were writing, but when did you start?
So we done a little EP like year 11 times. That was me just getting to grips with the rapping thing. And then in uni, that's when I started recording en masse, like on volume. So I didn't even have a mic because I don't know what happened to me, but I didn't cross my mind to get a mic. I didn't have a mic for like a year. So I would record over YouTube beats into my Beats headphones. So into the microphone, into the beat. So I'd have the headphones on, and I'd be rapping into that. And then that actually, funnily enough, that gave birth to how I record my vocals, because when I would record into the headphones, it wasn't very loud because obviously it's a shocking mic. Like it's not for that purpose. So I would record a vocal tape. I would sing a line, listen to it back, and I can't really hear myself. So to combat that, I would record a take, do another channel, record another take in the left ear, do another channel, then record another take in the right ear. So every time I was doing a line, I would do three takes. But then accidentally, I learned how to stack and how to layer my vocals. So over time, that actually gave birth to the way I record my singing vocals, because I have multiple channels, multiple stacks of every line in each ear. So yeah, from about 16, I'd done the EP, but from 19, I was recording heavily. Kanye said, picture yourself making 5 beats a day for 3 summers. So I was like, okay, I have to make 5 songs a day for three years. Simple, there's no 2 ways about it. So I ended up recording hundreds and hundreds of tunes at the crib. Yeah, man.
Hundreds and hundreds of tunes. It's crazy, yo.
Yeah, thank you, bro. Everyone always says that to me, but I'm just like, I don't know, man. Like, how many free kicks did Beckham take? Probably a million. Like, how bad do you want it?
Facts, man, facts. How do you, I know a lot of people talk about, you know, the phrase quality over quantity that gets thrown around a lot. How do you ensure that? Because you haven't released a lot. Like, I'm looking at your Spotify. There's not a lot on there. There's what, like, 10 tracks on there, and then like one collaboration as well, one that you feature on. How do you determine what gets put out and what doesn't get put out?
You know what, yeah? Part of it was I was anxious about putting out something that wasn't good enough, one. I gotta be honest. There's no shame in that. Number two, yeah, from 19, I knew I was gonna spend 3-4 years, however long it took, perfecting my craft and not putting anything out. That was just a given for me. And three, I'm extremely intentional and meticulous with what I present to the world. For example, So Please Be Patient is my first tape. There's so many variables that go into it. Like, one, I want whatever I put out to stand the test of time and to age well. it's hard as a UK rapper to make music that ages well, because to be honest, that isn't really encouraged. And two, I do everything intentionally. So Snow in Moscow, the song I done with Remy, that's a house tune that came out like summertime. Whereas my tape, Please Be Patient, came out in wintertime. It's very like moody and introspective. So quality control is also massive, being intentional, and every record you put out, you want to maximize the impact it can have. So I'm not throwing stuff out there, you know?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. You know what? I also want to talk a little bit about the Chin's creative process, because so you mentioned your rap and your singing voice. Not a lot of people in the underground scene do the singing thing alongside the rapping thing, whether it's like I don't know if it's a self-consciousness thing or what, or just being right. vulnerable in that moment, because singing is a lot more vulnerable than, you know, just chatting your mind onto a microphone, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay, as a opener to the question that I'm going to ask, how do you open yourself up to being vulnerable like that on your tracks when you're singing?
I'm laughing because that's such a that's like a nuanced, like in-depth question. How do I open myself up to being vulnerable? Okay, number one, what I will say is I think every rapper would rather sing. I feel like if you had a good enough voice to sing as a rapper, you would sing, number one. For like number two, think about it, just not even from an artistic perspective, from a business standpoint, right? Let's say you rap only. In theory, you're capping your potential market share at 50% or even more. So if you were to sing, that opens up a whole new world, right? And I think for me, how do I get vulnerable? I never saw that as a conscious decision. I always thought vulnerability was a prerequisite to making music. A lot of the guys that have influenced me, because I grew up listening to a lot of like gospel, like when I was very young, like Luther Vandross, a lot of R&B. It was normal to me to see a black man sing. That wasn't like a thing that always existed to me. And I was always going to do that anyway. I also think in terms of vulnerability, I'm definitely influenced by like the guys that came before me, so like the Parties, Drake's, Kanye. My first ever album I think I ever owned for myself was 808s and Heartbreak. And Kanye can't sing, but every record on that album sounds amazing. And it was the vulnerability and the rawness of it, like songs like Bad News, Coldest Winter. He's just singing his heart out. Like I'm in the back seat coming home from after school club listening to this guy, like real bad news. And it was so like textured and vivid. It was like, I had to do that. I'm not, also like when I was, sorry, a little bit back to what I said before. When I was just singing in my room, I knew it didn't sound good. So I didn't care. I just had to practice. So I got rid of a lot of that fear because I made it sound, I sounded terrible by myself and nobody heard it. You know what I mean?
Facts, man, honestly. Yeah, no, that's very true. And I do want to circle back a bit to what you said earlier about all rappers definitely do wish they could sing, because it's true. Like, and you see it in the culture nowadays. Like, there's a lot of, especially American rappers, like the ones that are sort of like, I don't want to say A-listers, but the ones that are like the A-listers of American rap, like the mainstream ones, you know, you get the Ducks, you get the Little Babies, you get all of that. Oh, those guys... sing a lot nowadays.
Exactly, man. Like if you listen to Heady came in the game singing, bro,
which is like, crazy to me.
Like listen to the one, he's singing and he hit the note and he killed the vocal. I'm like, gee, like we all, Jay-Z writes his raps in falsetto, Pharrell said that. So like if you could sing, you would sing, man.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine Jay-Z rapping in falsetto. That's crazy to me.
Crazy, bro.
That's like, I don't know. That's like imagining, I don't know, 21 Savage singing opera or something. Like, that just doesn't make sense to me.
That's what I'm saying, bro. But like, I think from an artistic perspective, for me, I want to be as complete as possible. I want to have 99 overall. I'm doing myself a disservice if I don't sing. Plus, actually, I forgot to mention, when I was writing one of those songs for Clarence, Clarence has a really clean, completely bassless, radio-friendly voice, like Ed Sheeran. So it's very clean and very light. So I had to change my ear and write pop friendly, radio friendly melodies. And then that helped me build those muscles. And whenever I hear a rap beat now, my first instinct is to sing. And then people are like, Chins, you should rap. But I'd rather sing first.
Absolutely, man, absolutely. Do you ever like listen to some songs and you're like, yo, I wish I had made this song? And I'm talking about like singing songs, you know, like whether it's, I don't know, R&B or like even some indie or pop or whatever. Do you ever get that feeling?
Bro, I get that all the time. Like, all the time. It's infuriating, yeah? Hearing somebody have an idea you could have had. That's why, I'm so intent on being a polished songwriter because I just feel like there's so many ideas to express. Just, I can't even know where to start with that. But yeah, all the time. Like, let's say Justin Bieber, All That Matters.
Yes,
I was fuming
yes,
when I heard that. I was
yes.
fuming, or even right here. Like, I was fuming when I heard that because that could have been me. But yeah, all the time, man.
Yeah, man. All That Matters is a crazy. You know, it's a good song when you're pissed off when you're listening to it.
Bro, I was fuming. I said, oh, fam, that should have been me, bro. That should have been me.
Crazy, man. Yeah, he did his thing on that song, honestly.
Crazy man, his best era, man.
Honestly, yeah. All right, cool. Yeah, my question was essentially, how did you, I guess, develop your sound to what it is now? Because you definitely do have one of the most unique voices in the underground scene at this point. Like, I don't hear anyone with a voice that sounds like yours in the UK underground scene, from what I've heard so far.
Thank you. Thank you. How did I develop my sound? I think, should we split it up between the rapping and the singing?
Yeah, let's go with that, yeah.
I'll do rapping because that's I'll do that quickly. So, I wanted since when I was about 15, I really wanted a deep voice, and I wanted a really clean, immaculate, radio friendly, Barack Obama, Idris Elba-esque speaking voice. So I honed that, and I wanted to have crazy clarity. The rapping was actually, it's actually really hard to have your own voice as a rapper, as in how you sound and what you rap about and your perspective. So I used to rap like Skepta. That was my closest framework when I was like 18. And then my number one thing was, don't fall into the trap of ying this, ching that, gang. Drrr. Come on, man, that's just ridiculous. Plus, I had such a broad sonic palette anyway, it wouldn't do it justice. So I think I just had to. The way I rap is like, it's hard. How I see it is like I allude to the bar. So for example, it's like, I wouldn't be like, yeah, we're popping bottles. I'd be like, the something in my cut made me move slow. So I would allude to the bar, but I wouldn't say the thing explicitly. And that's the thing that I hone at. A lot of amazing rappers don't rap the bar, but they allude to it. So that's what I do. It's like I allude to the thing that I want to say. And when I develop that, like, I'll never say I'm not gonna commit. I'm busy. But I said, can't catch me. I won't fall in love. Can't lack right now. I'm the chosen one. So it's like I try to make it a little bit poetic and allude to it. That's the rapping. With the singing. Yeah, I had like the layered vocals, like I said before, and I wanted to basically, yeah, I didn't really care about being a good singer, yeah. I just wanted really good breath control and be able to emote like how Kanye sang. Because my thing was like, if I can emote really well, then I've won. So if you can hear what I feel in my voice, then I've honestly won. Yeah, man, that's it.
Facts, man. Yeah, a lot of it does just come down to self-expression, I feel like, especially as an artist when you're trying to put a message out there to everyone. So it's definitely something.
100%.
Yeah, man. And it's funny. It's funny you mentioned sort of trying to train your voice to be a certain thing that you wanted, because obviously with your sound, with the way your vocals sound on these tracks, I was really curious as to how your speaking voice would sound, you know?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You get a lot of artists, you know, who pitch up their vocals or pitch down their vocals, and then they just sound completely different in an interview. Lancey gets brought up like every single interview at this point, but that guy literally, he sounds completely different on these tracks to how he sounds in an interview, you know?
Lancey's got a crazy voice. I think that's a skill in itself. Like when I rap, it might sound weird, but I rap higher than how I talk. Apart from maybe like Snow in Moscow, but if I rap how I talk, it'll sound too muddy. But yeah.
Exactly, man. Yeah, it makes it difficult to mix, doesn't it?
Bro, I didn't even want to go into that much detail, but yeah, it's too much bottom end. Like, it's a whole thing. So I'd rather like have a really clean take going into it than having like a thing you got to mix.
Yeah, man, exactly. Cool. So, okay, in your tape, Please Be Patient, you definitely showed a whole lot of us. Wow. Okay,
take time.
Red leather, yellow leather. All right. All right. In your tape, Please Be Patient, you definitely showed a lot of versatility from the jump, with the opener Bathroom Floor having elements of like sort of hard rock in the beat, especially with the lead guitar, you know. Definitely shook me a little bit hearing it, because it's not what I was expecting, but especially based off your recent track In the Air. But I want to talk a little bit about how important it is to you to stay versatile in your artistry.
That is it's extremely important to me. Like I said before, I have a very eclectic musical palette. I have so many influences, and my life is so diverse as well. I've existed in a lot of mediums and around a lot of cultures. And of like I said before, I want to have 99 overall. So I want to be able to touch any genre, have it be authentic to myself, and still be able to perform on that genre. So I would never box myself in. The challenge with Please Be Patient was to make the track list coherent, but have each song be able to stand by itself. That was the challenge, and I feel like I did that. So I'm really proud of myself on that. But yeah, man, it's so important to be versatile for me. I think that's probably one of my USPs.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. What does the creative process look like for you? Like, do you make your own beats yourself, or is that like, is it a team effort with you and a couple of other people? What's it like for you?
I'm a producer as well, back to the 99 overall thing. So I make my beats. I have no problem using beats other people have made. When I first started writing, obviously I was writing on YouTube beats, and in about 19-20, I just ran out of beats. So I'd always been making beats in the background, but this was the time for me to hone and create my own sound. So I just got to work on the beats, a lot of sample flipping. I wanted the drums to be immaculate, and it made my overall artistry better, because once you rap on your own, you know, stuff, it's easy to control the creative direction. In terms of like beat making, I did Bathroom Floor with Milo. So Milo's like my brother. Like, we met at uni. We've got, I don't know how many songs together, loads. Yeah, so I make a lot. I made every beat on Please Be Patient. Me and Remy did the beat on Snow in Moscow. In the Air is done by me and F1. Shout out F1. F1 is like, to me, F1's already top five producers in the country. He just needs time for people to see that. But F1 is ridiculous. Me and F1 have been making music for years, for like 4 or 5 years now, whatever. But yeah, man, I make a lot of my own beats. That will never change.
Yeah, man, that's crazy for real. And yeah, it's interesting you mentioned sample flipping because honestly, like what you did on Cry with the but I'll bleep that out. But with the sample you used on Cry, it's yeah, nah, it was crazy for real, man.
You're feeling that one. You're feeling that one. Come on, come on.
I think it's just because it was recognizable. I was like, oh, swear, like this is what he's doing. This is the vibe we're on.
Bro, I heard that song and I knew I had to flip it. I just didn't know how, so I waited like a couple years to wait. And then I just had the till I left the, and that was it. Yeah.
You mentioned having a really eclectic music taste and having a whole lot of influences as well. I don't really like asking this question because it's just such a basic question, but honestly, my curiosity is getting the better of me here. I do want to know who influences you, both musically and also, I suppose, outside of music as well.
So from a rapper perspective, I grew up on Kanye, Wayne, and Jay were like my first. That was like my introduction to rap. So I would say Kanye's creativity, Wayne's like when Wayne rapped, you knew it was him. There was like a charisma about it. And then Jay was like, from a technical standpoint, maybe the best I've ever heard. I think the fluency and the naturalness of which he rapped was just like unmatched. As well, like sonically, from like producer wise, I'd say Just Blaze, Pharrell, 40 as well, Party Massively. Yeah, James Blake as well, I'd say. James Blake. I feel like every rapper loves James Blake. Yeah, man, those then you got a couple of like the indie influences, like just like random sort of dotted around. Like I really like Hope Tala. Yeah.
Fairs, man. Fairs. Yeah, that's interesting, honestly, because I honestly would have expected like a whole lot more wild cards, you know, like stuff like I don't even know off the top of my head, like people like Eve's Tumor or people like that, honestly. You know what I mean?
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. I get what you're saying. I didn't even know like how left field we were going. It's hard because like I took a little bit from everything. You know what I mean? But those guys are probably my bread and butter like influences. But Eve's Tumor, yeah. You know, not really like a straight direct influence for us. The weird stuff or the left field stuff is a lot of James Blake and a lot of like dubstep.
Yeah.
I like the way dubstep moves sonically as well. Yeah, all the left field stuff is like sort of James Blake, that kind of like ethereal type production, as well as some of the indie guys. But yeah.
Facts, man. Yeah, I definitely mess with James Blake a lot. His album Assume Form, I think that's the one with like the
And that's I know what you mean. I think my first introduction to him was 2010 or 2011. Ever since then, man, I was like, this guy's just phenomenal, man. And do you know FKA Twigs?
She's
So her early
incredible.
stuff, she has a song called Give Up on, I think it came out like 2014. Like, that was just amazing to me, man. So yeah, shout out Twigs, man.
100%, man. Yeah, no, FKA Twigs is crazy as well. Yeah.
Crazy.
Cool. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about your musical influences. Outside of music, I know you've expressed a pretty serious interest in football, in the past and also just in the present as well. It's something that, you know, you mentioned quite a bit. not necessarily within your music, but you know, just externally.
Yeah.
I'm personally not too into football myself, but I suppose I want to know, and this is a bit of a left field question, what team you see yourself writing a theme song for?
It's got to be Arsenal, surely, man. Or if it's not Arsenal, maybe like Crystal Palace. Yeah, man, I feel like culturally, I support Arsenal.
Yeah.
For sure. Culturally, it aligns with me as well. And I just feel like there's a lot, like, you know, really young coach, like really young team determined to prove themselves, doing things in an unorthodox way. But then again, that blueprint that they're creating is going to be copied anyway. Trying to think long term in a culture that's all about short terms. So I just feel like it just matches, man.
What kind of vibe do you think? Do you know, actually, yeah, this is an interesting tangent. What kind of vibe do you see yourself going for with this theme song for Arsenal? And we'll go with a couple more teams as well, actually. I wanna see where your heads are here.
All right, so if Arsenal hit me for the theme tune, yeah.
Yeah.
I would make something triumphant. You gotta like start off in the mud and then come out on top. That would sort of be the theme, yeah. 100%,
man. All right. Let's go with, and I'm not too big into football, so maybe they've fallen off, but Chelsea. Let's go with Chelsea.
That's left field, man. Chelsea. I don't even know, bro. If Chelsea hit me for the theme tune, I'd hang up the phone, bro. So. I'm not even sure about that one, bro. I can't even answer that one, bro. No, I don't know, man. Probably somewhat something similar because they've got a young team as well. So, all
right, say less. All right, now I know enough to know what your response might be for this one. So let's go with Tottenham. What do you see for Tottenham?
Hang up the phone too, bro. Respectfully. So, next question.
All right. Let's move on. So, okay, so we've talked about what team you see yourself writing a song for, what vibe you see yourself going for. There's this thing that's been mentioned a couple of times in just throughout your artistry, I suppose, on Spotify, everywhere else. 04 World.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about that. What is that? What does that mean? What is the deeper meaning behind it?
You're good, man. So the four is the label. It's the institution. It's the is where we come from. So four is myself, my brother Milo, Clarence, and a couple of other man them. It's essentially our label. It's just something that happened naturally. So me and Miller were always making music together, and we were like, we might as well come from somewhere. We might as well just call it a thing. And the world in four is because music is an escape as well. And when I use music to escape, I create my own world. And I think anyone who daydreams or whatever creates their own world in their head, sort of thing. So I think Four World is like a nod to the fact that when you do music, you write your own rules. You know what I mean? Yeah, man. That's it, really.
That's cold, man. That's cold. Yeah, nah, because honestly, it did throw me a little bit because I was like, surely this guy wasn't born in 2004. Like that.
That's... Nah. Of course not.
Yeah, man. But facts. That's cool, though. That's cool. I mess with that. So I think we can get into the closes at this point. I do have just a couple more before I let you go on your way. I want to talk about what we can expect next from Chins, both in the long term, so in the next couple of years up to, I don't know, 2025-ish. 2025 is only like in a year and 2 months, so 2026 even. And
That's
also
crazy.
facts, man. And also the short term as well. So like in the next couple of months, I want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so short term, next couple months I'm going to be dropping a new single. We're dropping again. I took autumn off, which I think was good. Took autumn off, and then yeah, I'll be dropping new music end of probably top of next year, so top of 2024. Then we'll be doing Four Fest. So myself, Milo, couple other acts, we're gonna be performing, throwing a little show for, well, throwing a big show for you guys, running it up. It was supposed to happen in November, but wires got crossed, so it's all good. We'll be back. So yeah, keep your eyes peeled for Four Fest. In the next couple of years, 2026, I want to be the biggest in the country. I wanna retire as undisputed heavyweight champion of Great Britain. But I can settle for being on Mount Rushmore. Yeah, 2026. I want to be the biggest on one 100%.
That's crazy, man. These metaphors are crazy as well. Man said Mount
I'm
Rushmore, you
a
know.
rapper. I'm a rapper, bro. I gotta stay. You know what I mean? This comes naturally, my brother.
That's crazy, man. Yeah, nah, I mess with that still. I mess with that. Yeah. All right, so yeah, we've talked about what we can expect next. Can we expect any visuals as well? Can we expect any visuals
Oh,
from Chins?
of course. I never really done a visual properly, but visuals 100% coming. You know me, like I'm very like I want to do it when it's right, but 100% next year, 100%.
Absolutely, man. I'm gassed for that 1,000,000%.
Jeez, come on.
Cool. I do have one more question before I let you go on your way, Mr. Chins. And I ask this question to everyone. Today's no different. I close it off with the same every single time. You are heard by everyone on earth for 10 seconds. What do you say?
Oh my days. 10 seconds.
Yes, sir.
I'll probably just play one of my songs, bro. That's the craziest. Imagine that. That's the craziest marketing move ever. 7 billion people. You got 10 seconds. You were playing. We're playing each song for 5 songs for 2 seconds. Just mad snippets. Mad. Literally, probably, to be honest, yeah, man. I feel like I probably should have said something philosophical, but I can't even think of anything right now.
You can take your time, man. Honestly, it's calm. You don't need to,
But
get prep
if I had
time.
the whole world's ears on me, I'm definitely playing my music. You actually bug it. So therefore, I'll stick with that answer.
Facts, man. What song would you pick? Because you've got quite a catalog so far, so what would you choose?
Probably In the Air. Yeah, man. Imagine Lagos, babe, on a Birkin bag. The whole world just heard that. That's 7 billion streams. That's hard.
That's
Yeah, man,
crazy, man.
probably that store.
I mess with it, man. I mess with it. Cool. Do you know what? I think that's a good place to close off, actually. Chins, thank you very much for being on this episode. Listeners, make sure you all go check out Chins' most recent track, In the Air, out now on all platforms.
Sure.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Make sure you all go like, comment, and subscribe on this video as well. Follow Chins on all platforms. This stuff is, below the thing as usual. Chins, please tell the people to subscribe. They don't listen to me. Maybe they'll listen to you. Talk to them.
Boy, subscribe to the man. Subscribe to my boy Ishi. Works very, very hard on the videos for you guys, and he does in-depth research on every artist, so he deserves it. Give him the little click. It just takes a second. Just a little click. Simple.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I
Of
appreciate that.
course,
Ah, oh, man. All right. Yo, this was a good one. Thank you. Listeners, make
bro.
sure you do your thing. I've already said all of it. Keep it real, and I will see you later, alligators.